Hi, I'm Laura Seipert, and you are listening to Episode 3, Building Resiliency Through Teaching Your Ideal Student. If you are a voice teacher or a choir teacher who sometimes sees your students struggling with mindset or mental health, and you want to know how you can better help them, then this podcast is for you. I'm Laura Seipert. I'm a voice teacher and a board-certified music therapist. Welcome to the Mindful Voice Teacher Podcast. Hello, everyone. I have a special guest for you. I'm so excited to introduce you to Allie Tyler, who is an amazing business coach, voice teacher. And so without further ado, I'm just going to jump right into that conversation with her. So good to see you, Allie Tyler.
I'm excited about today.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to talk with you and to share with the world your amazingness.
And I just adore you too. And I feel the same way. And when I saw that you were doing this, I was like, so grateful and so happy. It is such important work that you're doing too. We're waking up right now, this whole world, and it's like, we need this now more than ever. So thank you.
You're so welcome. So how are you today?
I'm doing really well. You know what? It's actually really funny that we are doing this recording today because I just came from a four-day solo retreat. And I feel, it's so funny. I've been thinking a lot about like rest and radical rest and how rest is a radical act, right? And how a lot of us have been conditioned to think that we need to be productive all the time. We need to be doing all the time. And I was listening to someone talk about how rest is this radical act against toxic capitalism. And I believe this too. And we can go deep into that. But something I noticed in myself, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. I wonder if this is toxic capitalism or if this is just me. And I really don't know. But every time I'm done resting or like I feel good, I'm like, let's work. Like, let's get to work. I just feel so like excited. And that's how I'm feeling right now. Like I took 4 days, didn't do anything. And now I'm like, let's freaking go. So I don't know what that's about.
That's the purpose behind rest, right?
I would hope so, right? It's like meant to inspire you. I think that people who really are in that toxic capitalism would say, no, that's capitalism telling you to hustle again. And I mean, I get that to a certain degree, but like, I think generally people really like generating things. We like doing things. It feels good. So, but it feels especially good after you've rested. So that's exactly. That was a long answer.
Oh my goodness. I love it. So you went on a 4-day solo retreat. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Tell me a little bit more about that, like how that works, especially since you're a mom and you went on a four-day solo retreat. Okay, tell me.
I think the better thing is because I'm a mom, you know, especially on because I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. And you too, mama, and like all the mamas out there who are trying to be voice teachers and mamas and all the different roles. And even if you're not a mom, but like I started doing committing to solo retreats maybe 6 or 7 years ago. So this is my 5th one. And I ensure that like the only way to make this happen is to book it, right? Is to be like, okay, I'm going on Airbnb and I'm going to do the thing. And once you do that, you kind of coordinate your whole life to work around it so that you can take that time off. And I want to do this every year forever. Like it's so essential. It's like, I can't not do it. So for me, it's, and everyone's solo retreat is going to be different, but I delete social media apps. I told my assistant, like, I'm not checking my email. Like I don't want to be connected in that time. I don't even turn on the television. Like I'm no screen, as minimal as possible, like just me and my thoughts. And I'll tell you, Laura, it's uncomfortable. And I'm sure people here are going to be like, that sounds awful. Like, I don't want to be alone with my thoughts for 4 days straight by yourself. But that's kind of why I do it. It's like consciousness practice and being totally in this sort of itchy state of boredom is really good for us. This is like helping our neural pathways like open up in different ways, we need that time to like literally unplug. And our ego and our mind is going to be like, oh my God, like the amount of times I tried to check Instagram was alarming and annoying. And I'm like, dang it, I hate that. You know, my mind does that. We do that. So it is uncomfortable, but that's kind of why I do it. I mean, I love to sit in that discomfort. And for me, it's really a process of following what I call my nudge, following my knowing, following my inner voice, that little voice that says, okay, how about reading now? Okay, why don't you go for a walk now? Oh, how about we make a smoothie now? You know, and that's what I'm listening for. When I start getting in my head of like, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. Oh, I should. Then I go, oh, there it is again. All right, I'm going to wait for my nudge. And then my nudge will tell me. And that's how I live the whole solo retreat. It's really, really fun. I highly recommend everybody, like, even if it's just one night, you know, and really make that night count. Just unplugging like that is so beneficial for our mental health.
Yes. And so how long do you feel the benefits from after doing a solo retreat like this? Or how do you see the benefits in your life?
So that's a really good question. I think for me, the biggest thing over and over is gratitude. And I do feel like this as a mom, especially now, but I know and notice in those solo retreat moments where I'm like, so blissed out. I'm laying on the chaise lounge. I'm reading a book. And I mean, it's October. So the leaves are like unreal here in Colorado. And I'm just like, I could not be happier right now. And then in that same moment, I have this awareness of this is a moment. Mm-hmm. And then when I close this book and I walk away, this will be a memory. And that's how every moment is. And it's so profound when you remember that. And I feel that as a mom, whenever I see my kid who's like 15 months and just the best age in the whole world. And I have this thought, I mean, I cry about it a lot because I'm just like, the moment I put you in your crib, that cuddle time we just had will literally be a memory that we don't have right now. And that's kind of how I carry it on. It's just like, I'm constantly being reminded to be grateful of every moment because it is a moment. And life is temporary, good or bad. That's what's so beautiful about it. So that's kind of, I don't know if that answers your question, but it does. It's like, it just helps me tap into that so much faster.
Well, I am grateful for this moment that I'm having right now with you. That will soon be a memory, but will continue to be moments for other people as you, the listener, are listening to this. You are having a moment with me and Allie right now. And that is just so special. I know Allie also has a podcast. And as a podcast host, I am just so grateful for you for listening to this and for taking the time and seeing it as something that is valuable. So grateful that we could all have this moment together today.
Likewise.
Yeah. Definitely. And so, Allie, I've got to tell you, I think I might have told you how I kind of got connected with you. It was really just like out of the blue. I've now, you know, been communicating with you. I've been in your programs for the last year, even more than a year at this point, which is crazy. I just randomly came across the Whole Voice Instagram page probably a year and a half ago. I don't even remember what led me to it. I know something did. I remember kind of falling across this and like all the things that you were saying just resonated so deeply with me and what I believe in my values and the way that I teach. And you just sold me like right there. And I was like, this girl, whatever she's doing, I am on board because I believe in you and your values. And it's just been beautiful ever since then. Well, Allie, tell me and the listeners a little bit about you, your story, and why you are so passionate about helping voice teachers up-level their businesses and really up-level themselves as a voice teacher.
Yeah, I know. People are like, who is this girl talking about solo retreats? I'm Allie. I am also a voice teacher and I do marketing and business coaching for voice teachers, which is how we are also connected. And I think I'll tell you, like, I definitely was not on the pursuit of this role. Like I was never like, I'm going to be a marketing and business coach for voice. Like even the word business coach feels so strange to me, but I think what happened was I've been a voice teacher for 13 years. I've done the whole like working for a music school and then working for another. I think I worked for like four music schools, honestly. And I've done the whole driving to every single student, which is something you do in Orange County, which I think back on, I'm like, that was literally insane. How did I do that? I mean, that's like 30 students. It was nuts. So anyway, I've done all those things that make you feel like this under-earning, overworking voice teacher. That like you can't get off of this freaking hamster wheel. And I gotta be like totally real and say that, you know, it wasn't like a light bulb switch where I was like, and now I've made tons of money. It was like trying to figure out how to do this online business thing while being a voice teacher was not an easy thing. And I never ever went after it as like, I'm going to be a master at this. That was never the pursuit. It was always just for my own, like trying to just get my head above water. But from those experiences of looking at my bank account and being like, how am I going to pay rent? And having to ask for my parents for money again and not being able to go like fill up my gas in my tank and do all of these things. I think a lot of voice teachers started really like understanding that and empathizing with that as well. And so there was just sort of like natural thing that happened where we just sort of got together and sort of vented about it. I was seeing people vent about it in Facebook groups. I was seeing it on Instagram and I was like, okay, like this is a thing. This is a thing. It's not just me that's like really suffering here. I feel like I'm just like can't get enough money going to get my head above water. And at that same time, you know, I was getting interested in online business. So I started kind of passively helping voice teachers out. Just like people would send me their resumes and I would look at it. People would send me like their website links and I would look at it. And this just sort of kind of went on for years. Like it was just sort of this side hustle thing until basically, I mean, like I said, it wasn't like this light bulb, like, now I'm going to help all these voice teachers. It just kept getting bigger. It just more and more teachers were expressing that this was a big thing. And then COVID happened. So that was when everything changed. And then it was like, oh, for real, we actually need to figure out how to have a website and how to get new students. So I would be lying to say I was super motivated by like helping the voice teachers of the world. Like that never really was like the thing that happened. It kind of fell into my lap. But now that it has fallen into my lap, and now that I have this amazing community, it's like the work has gotten so much deeper in the purpose. Now I'm seeing people like you and like so many other voicepreneurs who have kids, or they like there's this one voicepreneur, she had an entirely full schedule, and now she exclusively does group workshops. Like that's game changing for people. Seeing what's possible now, as I'm in it too, because I'm in it too. I'm seeing what's possible too. Like I'm in the thing together with everybody. It's just so motivating and exciting because now it's really changing people's lives when we're like, we're not in this under-earning, overworking identity. We can get out of that from an online business. So that's like, it gets me really pumped and inspired when I hear how people are using their creativity, how they're using their skills, like you, like this music therapy background you have, your story, that first episode you put out, like your performance story, and how you are utilizing your story to make a message. That's what it's freaking all about. Like being on this podcast, it's giving me chills because it's like, this is it. It doesn't even, yes, like making the money is awesome. Like we love that. But really, it's about tapping into your strengths and then being like, you know what? I'm gonna freaking help people. And yes, I'm gonna put it in the shape of a business because it is, but I'm really going to help people. And then in turn, it's gonna help my life too. It's just this beautiful ripple effect.
Oh my goodness. Yes, it totally is. And I mean, I've talked to a lot of voice teachers as well that are definitely in the overworked and overwhelmed camp, like overworked, underpaid. And why do you think voice teachers allow themselves to get there, like, where they just feel like they have to just teach and teach and teach and have these studios of 35, 40 students? And why do you think voice teachers allow themselves to get into that?
It's a deep question, and I think there's a lot. I have a few theories. So I think the first one, I mean, ultimately, scarcity mindset, and it's a very, very justified feeling. When we think about the arts as a whole, we think about, well, we're voice teachers, we're contributing to people learning how to sing. Okay, well, professionals going out and singing, you think they're actually getting taken care of by their country? Especially if in the United States, the answer is no. Maybe in some other countries, yes, but we already have this like weight on us. You know, we already are walking around like, I'm barely making it as an artist where I live. Mm-hmm. And then you compound that with, oh, now I'm teaching those people. It's like, it just, the scarcity mindset is real and it totally makes sense. And it like, everybody has that and it's justified. I do think though, a deeper thing, if we're going into that kind of mindset, and this is something that was a really big one for me, and I hope a listener who's listening to this will have this moment too. There is a difference between being a voice teacher who loves their parents and their clients and their students and their thing, and being a business owner. Mm-hmm. And you can be a loving voice teacher and a business owner. I'm not saying you can't, but you have to put on a different hat. It is different. Specifically with setting boundaries. We cannot be people pleasers anymore if we want to have a sustainable career. And that is part of that underworking, or what is it? Oh, sorry, under-earning, overworking voice teacher, right? It's this feeling of like people pleasing. I need to, first and foremost, I need to teach everybody because I can. That's a big one. Oh my God. The amount of times. Well, I just took that 7-year-old because I love teaching. I don't really love teaching 7-year-olds, but I love teaching and I can help them. Wrong boundary. Stop trying to please everybody. And then of course, right? Prices. Oh my gosh. Like getting paid at the lesson, not before the lesson. And then they cancel the lesson and, oh, but I feel bad. I don't want to ask for money. And since they canceled that, that's a boundary we need to set too. Like you are a business. How are you getting paid? Right. Mm-hmm. There are so many little boundaries that we have to take on when we become business owners that are different than when these kind of people pleasing, overly loving from the best place ever mm-hmm. role. Right. So I think that is, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah.
That it's like we need as voice teachers to move into this place where we're not getting so burned out.
Yes.
And from what I'm hearing that you're saying is like not being a people pleaser is going to help you like avoid that burnout phase and being able to like pick your ideal student mm-hmm. and just to kind of just go for it. Tell me a little bit about how that might've been life-changing for you when you picked your ideal student.
Everything changed everything. And here's why. It's not even the student. I'm going to get woo right now. We're going to get woo right now. It's literally not even the student. I mean, yes, having a studio filled with your ideal students feels great, but more importantly, it's the action that you are taking that says, yes, I respect myself enough to not teach that student. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then there's abundance. Oh my the goodness. Universe is literally like, yeah.
Oh. I have to say that again. I respect myself enough to not take that student.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, because that is what boundaries are all about. It's self-respect. Yes. So, and when you do that, like you're respecting the student, right? In turn, because now they can go and find a teacher that does want them, thank God. And you are saying yes in a way that is going to magically generate more of the things that you want. Yes. We have to give parameters to ourselves, to the universe, to the people we love, and actually stick to them, you know? So if an ideal or not so ideal student comes into your studio or has been in your studio for a while and they have been, and you're just like, you're listening and you're like, you know who it is. They're just that student. Maybe this is your sign. I don't know. Everyone's different, but self-respect is huge.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. So tell me more about picking your ideal student and how that might help build resiliency yourself as a professional.
Build resiliency as a professional. I love that question. So the thing that I like to think about too, you know, with business is that your business has an energy, right? you have an energy and then your business has its own energy. And when we start thinking about who our quote unquote ideal students are, it can get very confusing because we start getting really deep into demographics, right? Oh, I love this age group and this style of music and blah, blah, blah. And truly it's like the heart of them, what they're struggling with and how you can help them with their problems. That's what we're thinking about. So if we go back to this idea that our business is an energy, if we are taking care of our business and nurturing it, then we are saying, if that person is going to drain this energy, then that's actually hurting my business, right? Like not ideal students hurt your business. And it's a weird conundrum to like wrap our heads around because we associate client equals money, money equals success, right? But ultimately, here's what happens. If we're talking about, again, this vortex of like saying yes and things keep saying yes to you, you're like, okay, yes, I'll take a not so ideal student. And they're like, oh my God, I love you. I'm going to tell all my friends about you. And then guess what? You've just attracted like 15 more of your not so ideal students. This happens to me a lot, by the way. It used to happen in my early days all the freaking time. And I would be like, I think the universe is trying to give me a lesson here. It's like, oh, you want that? Okay, here you go. And it just gives you all this stuff. So then you're teaching all these not so ideal students and then you're feeling burned out, right? I mean, it's just, it makes perfect sense. Like if you are, you know, you're giving so much of your energy as a voice teacher, this is like an incredible energetic transaction that you are experiencing with your student. Unlike most other one-on-one services, by the way, this takes a tremendous amount of energy. So if you are pouring all of this energy into someone who is not giving you that energy back, you have literally just drained your cup. You have drained yourself, and that is only going to hurt your business. It's never helpful. It doesn't matter how much money. It literally does not matter how much money you make, because if you are energetically drained, you cannot put the energy into your business and your business can't thrive. So it really is something you have to do for yourself, for your own self-respect, but then also for your business. Your business is going to thrive. It's unreal what happens when you say yes. That's the student I want.
Yeah, it really is. And I can attest to that. Like once I have started like picking my ideal student and saying yes to that and no to other people, like, okay, got to tell you, I mean, I fall into the camp of recovering people person and also sometimes not so recovering people person.
Right.
Depends on how well I'm doing on that day. But it's like saying no to someone, especially if I have available time slots in my schedule, oh my goodness, that is scary.
Yes.
Because I'm like, well, I could fit them in, but I know that by teaching them would drain me instead of energize me.
Yes.
And being willing to say no has been life-changing for me. I'm still working on it. But the students I have now are, it's so fun. And I look forward to teaching. I look forward to when I see their name come up, I'm like, yes, I get to teach this person. And it's going to be so fun. I want to talk to the voice teachers and maybe even other music teachers who maybe don't own their own business. Maybe they work for somebody else's studio. They might even work in the school system. And they don't get to choose their ideal students. They have somebody choose their students for them.
Yes.
What would you recommend to them in order to avoid some of this overwhelm, burnout, draining of energy that we've just talked about?
Yes. And I think this is a great question. And my answer is going to apply to this question and then everybody too, because it really, it's for whether or not you work at a music school or are employed or not, right? But ultimately, I mean, in that situation, you are getting your not so ideal students. You are getting your not so ideal hours. You are getting your not so ideal pay, all of the things. And there is a lot to be said about where our focus goes, right? Where our focus goes, energy flows. And I remember, I mean, I did it for 8 years. There were, I wanted to freaking like slap some people sometimes. Like it was hard. I remember. And if I ever focused on how much I hated it, I only hated it more. So we always know that positive thinking, of course, like focusing on the good. I think though, ultimately, like I like thinking about how I'm feeding my brain, because we can try and have all these positive thoughts all the live long day. But if our brain is feeding off of food, so to speak, like food, actual food, and then we have screens, and then we have podcasts, like what we're listening to right now, and then we have books, and then we have music, like we have all things that we're feeding our brain all the time. So we have to be responsible for how we manage our brain in those long days and those long hours teaching those students who don't really want to teach. So when you do have that 10-minute break, are you getting on Instagram and scrolling? Because that's not feeding your brain the way that we should, right? How about we go outside and breathe? Literally, just do the four pattern, the box pattern breath, right? The box breath, and do that literally for 2 minutes outside, right? Or maybe you decide, this is something I did all the time, and it was like unbelievably helpful for me in my business, is I just had my notebook and I would just write down what happened in the lesson, what worked and what didn't work. And something about self-reflection and journaling, just like how those lessons were going, whether or not I liked that student, it didn't even matter. This was helping me clarify what type of teacher I am. This was helping me clarify who I wanted to teach and who I didn't want to teach and what it is I even teach in the first place, right? For you, Laura, to look at my Instagram and be like, yeah, I love your values. I love your teaching style. That all came from journaling. That all came from me trying to figure out in those lessons that I kind of really didn't like, why I didn't like them and what I wanted to do instead. So it is super beneficial time. It's not a time of, oh, woe is me. Like, I hate this and I'm not getting paid enough. I mean, yeah, it is. It sucks. Like, it's just something we all kind of have to get through. And then at some point you're going to be like, I either do want to keep doing this or I don't. Right. And that's fine. But while you're in it, what an amazing time to learn, and feed your mind in the right ways. It's the only way to get through.
I love that. You like really just have to be careful about your mind. I mean, in order for us to really be able to be positive and to be able to build resilience, you cannot let your mind just go passive and just whatever comes to your mind, like just to do. Like, I know a lot of us will either go to food or to some other sort of buffer like Instagram or Facebook. And like you said, that really does not feed our minds. So what can you intentionally do that you know is going to help you? What can you do for that 10 minutes of self-care that you know is just going to help bolster you and keep you energized during those difficult teaching days?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. And one other thing I want to add too, while you just said that, this can be spaces away, but it can also be in the lesson as well. So maybe your mindset right before that lesson is, you know what? I'm going to have them lead it, or I'm going to have them make up a warm up, or I just read that thing from my last 10-minute break in that vocal pedagogy book I was reading about, you know, the larynx doing such and such. Now I'm going to go try it on them. So let it be fun as an experimental thing in it as well as the spaces away from it. Yeah.
Allie, now I want to talk about parents of students, maybe those who teach younger kids, as I know you did once upon a time. Do you have any tips for our voice teachers that feel like their student is their ideal student, but it's the parent of that student that makes it difficult? Whether the parents' expectations for their child that might not line up with your expectations, or the expectations that they have of you, their teacher, that they might or might not feel are being met, communication. What tips do you have for voice teachers that might really be struggling with working with parents out there?
Well, first and foremost, I want to give you a hug because I feel this is the hardest part, I think, is the parents. It's the freaking parents. Oh gosh. All right. So I do have thoughts, and I'm going to be real because, you know, that's how I roll. It goes back to that conversation we had before about kind of those people pleasing tendencies And then our kind of business, quote unquote, I like to call myself a boss girl. Like I have my mug that says, and I drink it every Tuesday because that's my boss day. So you can call yourself whatever you want. You put on your boss girl hat, whatever. And this is the practice. This is the resiliency, is facing parents. Because you're right, they are going to have different expectations. I mean, God, Laura, I could literally write a book with the amount of drama. Like, I don't even fights. No, I don't know. Back and forth. Just God, it's awful. So first and foremost, how we become a boss girl, how we get our business hat on, is we manage our emotions first. I think a lot of what happens in these situations is we become very reactionary. It's like we get a text from a parent that's like, you know, I can't believe you charged me for that lesson when my daughter was sick. Our first gut feeling is like, oh my God, my thought would be like, serious. I get mad. I have a mad Allie voice. And then I tell her like, woo, okay, cool. Like people wouldn't think that about me, but I get a little angry up in there. I get very blamey. That's like my kind of thing I'm always working on. I have to really reassess and be like, okay, wait a minute. Whose blame is this? So take that moment, take a minute. Do not get reactionary. We want to be in a responsive, business, professional way. However, I don't need to say this to voice teachers because y'all are professional. The one thing that I think a lot of us think when we think, oh, now I need to have a professional response to this, is we want to justify things. That's not right. That is a big one. When we start going, oh, I'm going to justify, well, I did this because of blah, well, I canceled because of blah, 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 this, and we start getting into that type thing, that's where we have to go, okay, ooh, hold up. Is it in my policy? Because if it's not, great. This is a wonderful learning experience for me. Thank you so much, parent. I'm gonna go put that in my policy now, right? So that's our first thing, is oftentimes those experiences are literally meant for us to learn from and to take that and do something about it. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. But of course, the other thing is, let's say you do have that conversation with a parent and it's a hard conversation. You don't ever have to justify anything, ever, especially if it's in your policy. All you have to say is, I'm really sorry you feel that way. If you want to recheck the contract, it's written right there. You do not need to justify, and talking about letting go of ideal students, you do not need to justify why you're letting them go. I hear this all the time. People are like, well, should I send an email that says, well, they didn't practice, and then bullet point all the mental things that you already have a list of, right? All of our things that we already know why we're letting them go. The answer is no, you do not need to tell them. What you say is, I'm going to let you go. I'm not available anymore. If you have any questions, let me know and we can talk about it, right? And this goes for every, like when I started doing this, where everything, whether it was a canceled thing, a makeup scenario, a blah, 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 I just put on that boss girl hat and was like, okay, my people pleaser really wants to be like, I'm so sorry. And oh my God, I did this. And well, but you did that. Like, right. And then, yeah, my blamey self is like, well, this does this. You're right. Like I have all these selves. And then we just go back and be like, it's in my contract. It's written down. Or if it's not, thank you. You're right. I will. You know what? I'll let this one slide. And I'm going to make sure to put that in my contract next time. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. There's a really great article. Everyone needs to go and Google this. It helped me a lot when I made this belief change for me and dealing with parents. It's called The Economist's View of Makeup Lessons. I think that's what it's called. If you Google it, you'll find it. The Economist's View of Makeup Lessons. And he writes an article. It's an Economist's View of Makeup Lessons. And I love it. I read this article. He posted it. It's for parents being like, yo, let's not give these teachers a hard time about makeup lessons. I mean, you pay for swim classes, you pay for 10 swim classes, and then they go and miss one because they're sick. Are you going to go and tell the swim company that they need to give you a refund for that class? No. So, and he gives this whole amazing view of how we can treat makeup lessons differently. When I read that article, everything changed for me. I was like, oh my God, why am I doing makeup lessons? Why am I bending over backwards for all these parents? I'm a freaking business. So I highly recommend going and Googling it. Yeah. It really helps a lot. And just remember, yeah, you know, like, I wanted to talk real quick about, you asked about specifically what happens when you have an ideal student that has these parents. So I think that this is like, it goes to this, it's so hard. It like makes me sad because I can actually think of two students who I had this situation with. I just love them still to this day. I love them. And I had to let both of them go because of their parents. I think that for me, the reckoning that I had to go through was, can I still have a relationship with these students as not their teacher? And if I can, then great. And I can, I'm friends, like we follow each other on Instagram, you know, and it's wonderful. And I can still connect with them. I just met, like emailed one of them a couple months ago. And that's a question that you can ask yourself is like, can I still be there with them? Not in a savior mentality, because we all get really wrapped up in, but I love them because I can help them. Oh my God, they're 16 and they're going to go and perform at Juilliard. They're like amazing. And I know I can be their guide. And yes, they might be the best singer ever, but at the same time, you got to self-respect yourself. And if that teeter-totter is not looking good for you, then how can you make a relationship with them in a supportive, loving way that's not being their voice teacher? That was something that really helped me a lot too.
Oh my goodness. Yes. And you know what? Why don't you send me the link to that article and I'll put it in the show notes. So you as a listener, you can just click on it and you can read all about it. I'm definitely going to take a look at it. That sounds definitely.
I used to send it to angry parents. No way. You should check out this article. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be great. So as we're wrapping up here, why don't we talk a little bit more about like, what are some other ways that you would recommend voice teachers bolstering their own mental health so that they can better be present for their students, however they show up to their lessons?
Great. Okay. I think it really does come back to everything we've really talked about in just knowing what you are energetically available and not available for, because that to me is what alignment is all about. And everyone's alignment is going to be different. What feels in alignment for one teacher might be 40 students, and for another, it might be 5. And knowing yourself, knowing your energy levels, knowing what students deplete you and which ones bring you up, knowing what time of day even is the best time to teach for you, or when you're in your most creative flow, just really knowing yourself and like honoring your energy and taking action that helps you maintain that energy. That's so important. I think that there's a lot of work around awareness and consciousness and checking in. One of my favorite practices that I do, and I do it every day, and I do it with my voice students. In fact, how about we do it together? You want to do it together? Yes. Okay, let's do it together. I call it tuning in, and it can be as long or as short as you want. You could do it in 30 seconds, or you can do it in 5 minutes. You can do it however you want. We'll just do a couple minutes. So everyone who's listening, if you're not driving or you're in a safe space, I invite you to join us with this, where you're just going to put your hand over your heart and you can close your eyes. And just take a moment, just breathing, dropping into your body. And as you drop in, start to do a slow body scan from the top of your head, down your face, your ears, your neck, scanning at your own speed, and just noticing what your body feels like. Maybe there's some knots or feels a little crooked in places. And remember, we're always just observing. We are never judging or trying to change anything. So the first question to ask yourself is, how does my body feel today? How does my body feel today? And then And you feel like you have a word that resonates. Ask yourself, how do I feel today? How do I feel right now? And the last word, or phrase, I should say, is how do I want to feel today? And maybe that is just one word, or maybe it's a phrase. When you feel like you have that word of how you want to feel today, take that breath in. Feel this word resonate in your body. And then let it out. You can open your eyes. Ah. So that is what I like to call tuning in. And like I said, you can do it in 30 seconds. You can do it in 5 minutes. I loved doing this in between students. And I really love doing it in between students or in certain times of day because, again, this is all about awareness. This is about knowing yourself. This is about coming back to your body, coming back in, not being so out here and reactionary, but coming back inward here. And when you can check in and tune in enough times to start noticing, oh, I feel really good after a Tuesday. Interesting. Oh, I feel really not so good after a Wednesday. You will start being able to realign the things that you need to in your life so that you do live in alignment. But it only comes from you tuning in and being aware of your own energy state. That's the best advice I could give.
So good, Allie. You are incredible. And I love how much you talk about being in alignment and tuning into yourself and being aware. I think that in and of itself is some of the best advice to give just for being a mindful human being and having good mental health hygiene is just being aware of yourself and not putting any drama behind what you become aware of, just being curious and just noticing. I think I'm loving all of this. So as we're finishing up here, I'm wondering if you have three quick takeaways to share with the people that are listening of things that they can start applying today or this week as they teach their students.
Cool. Three takeaways. All right. Put me on the spot, Laura. Let's see if I can think of three. I love it. Okay. First one, own where you're at right now. So if you are in that stage that you are not loving, that is okay. Just own it. Make some use out of it. You know, like we were talking about, make this a learning opportunity no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on. The second thing is, really respecting yourself, really owning your boundaries, really owning your energy. And if you have to disappoint people so that you don't have to disappoint yourself, then do it. That's more important. It's so important that you do not disappoint yourself. And something we didn't talk about, but I'm just going to say it. This makes a profound difference as a third takeaway here. Everything we're talking about makes a profound difference for our students because they're watching us. I have my favorite students are Gen Zers. I freaking love Gen Z. I think they're like, they know what's going on and I love following them. And I follow them on Instagram and I've had like a few, you know, of my old students who are in college now tell me like, I love watching you live integrity and your values online. And I loved that you did that as a teacher. I loved that you knew how to set boundaries and I could watch you do that as a teacher. And I love that you're still doing that on Instagram. And that like means everything to me. Cause it's just like the voice lesson. Sure. Maybe I taught you how to belt. Great. But like, that is really, really what it's about. Like talk about profound ripple effect. When our students can see us living in integrity with our values. I mean, if you take nothing else from this conversation, I hope that you will at least take that if you can't do it for yourself, at least do it for them. But truly, it really does. It makes a big impact. So yeah.
I love those. Yes. Those were three great takeaways. So tell us a little bit about what you do, what you're working on, and if we're interested in working with you, how do we do that?
Sure, absolutely. So you can find me over at The Voicepreneur. I teach voice teachers how to become voicepreneurs and essentially, you know, be the boss of their own business. And specifically, I really like helping established voice teachers kind of break out of that one-on-one lesson model. So if you are a teacher who is looking to make money in other ways beyond private lessons, you feel like you're like, I can't do the client thing anymore because there is a glass ceiling. I help teachers build out an offer. So it could be warm-up tracks, a membership, a online course, a master, like anything, whatever your heart desires. My job is to help you build it and sell it because it matters and you don't have to be in that one-on-one trap. So you can find all of that. I'll give you some links. They will be in that show notes for you to check out, and then come and find me on Instagram over at The Voicepreneur, and please DM me because I really, really love connecting with people personally.
Love that. Well, Allie Tyler, this has been an amazing conversation with you. Like I said before, you are such a light, and anyone that wants to get in contact with you, I know will be blessed by your energy, by your love for what you do, and for your love for people as well, especially fellow voice teachers. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me, and I wish you all the best in all of your endeavors.
Oh, thank you, Laura, and thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. It's really, really amazing. So I'm really honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome.
If you are wanting to spice up your vocal warm-up routine with some really fun vocal warm-ups that also help build confidence and positive mindset, then make sure to sign up for my Warm-Up Wednesday newsletter through the link in the show notes below. Also, be sure to rate, review, and follow this podcast in Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcast. And rate and review, especially if you really liked it. And if you didn't, then don't worry about it. It's all good.